book we got?
217.
All right, if you stand, if you, what song are we singing? Well, work till Jesus comes. That's a good message after Randy's song. I don't know why I put this on, because I'm not preaching tonight. Hey, Chris, hand that to Brother Randy, would you? Okay. All right. Help us sing this, if you would. Ready to take up the offering tonight. I like that second verse where it says, he conducts me home. Obviously, this was written in a time where people probably used a train more than we use today. And all I know is what you see on the movies. There, the guy stands there and he cries out, all aboard. You know, one day you're going to hear that. It's going to be your name and you alone. Train door is going to open. And this guy's going to say, can I see your ticket? You know, which is Lord Jesus Christ. I like that when he says he's going to conduct us home. That means he's going to say, hey, train's leaving. Get on board. We're going home. All right, Brother Chris, if you'll pray for us, we'll sing this last song. Okay, brother, if you can come up here and just give us a couple minutes and just share with he's going to give a brief testimony. At some point, we're going to have him back, and he's going to explain more about what he's doing, but he's going to just give a quick brief testimony. This is, brother, you know, this is a good guy if he's willing to travel with his mother-in-law and his father-in-law, amen? There is a God. No, I'm just kidding.
It takes a lot sometimes, brother, I'll tell you.
Now, I'll tell you what. He's been telling me, how long have I...
Too long. Too long, yeah.
Yeah, I want to go to Africa. I said, hey, clock's ticking. For me and you both. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. I just want to share a brief word with you this evening, what Pastor Randy was preaching about this morning. You know, it's I am getting up there a little bit, not a whole lot, but I'll be 69 this year, and I started with Pastor Randy when we built our church, and I've done just about everything in the church. I've been saved 40 years, and there's the only thing I haven't done is work the nursery, okay? Everything else, I pretty well did that. But what he was talking about this morning is serving the Lord. And, you know, folks, there's always something we can do. I mean, I got kind of burnt out there for a while and just kind of sat back and just kind of think, you know, can God still use me or not? And I just really got kind of discouraged there for a while. And I just thought, something's got to come along. Something's got to give, you know. And just so happens, I don't know if you know Brother Barnett. I don't know if you know him or not. But anyway, he got out of the ministry that I'm in now. And an opening came up to serve in this ministry I'm in, which I will come back and present that someday. But at my age, I thought, you know, there's got to be something else. Like, I really thought God may be done with me or something, or going to set me on a shelf or whatever he's going to do. But, you know, I had to stop thinking about my life a little bit. He's brought me through a lot. I served in Vietnam. I was a door gunner on helicopters, and I've been married to my wife for 49 years and got a blessing with 3 girls and 12 grandkids and 2 great-grandkids. But I needed something else to do, and just so happens this ministry came along. But I want to encourage all of you that he was talking about this morning. Do not give up on God. There's something for you to do. I don't care what it is. I travel all over Indiana. I'm gone almost every Sunday down in Kentucky. I'm gone all the time. And I meet a lot of interesting people and visit a lot of churches. But in Psalms 90, verse 10, it says, "The days of our years are threefold and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Life is short. And I know that sometimes people just realize that there's just nothing else I want to do, or some people just don't just give up, period. But I will do this as long as I can. Pastor Randy's always coming up with something new, so he keeps us busy with stuff, and he's hard to keep up with. And I know that people here is no different than any other church in the United States of America, that you're thinking, what else can I do for God? I don't care how big or how small it is. The reason I wanted to do this ministry, I had an opportunity to do this ministry, I guess I should say it, I thought, you know, if God can use me in it, then I want to do it. And it's because I look at my family, and, you know, I could have died in Vietnam. None of this over here would be here. He saved me for a reason, and I know that if I had met this woman over here, that this all wouldn't have happened for me. I was on a bad path when I come home, and met a good Christian girl. And the more that we get involved in and doing the things in this world and the things that's going on in the Christian life, it's just an opportunity for somebody to serve just a little bit longer. And I'm able to do that, even at my age. And I can still get around pretty good and everything. I've got a lot of health problems from Vietnam. I got a lot of Agent Orange problems. But those are internal. The external things, I can still move around and do the things I need to do. And without my family being behind everything that we do together and the stuff that we get involved in, especially in ministry things and stuff, it's just been a blessing to know that each and every one of you sitting here today can do something for the Lord. I don't care how old or how young you are. It's important that you have to do that. And whenever you think you're washed up and you can't do anything else, well, don't give up, because God's got a purpose for you, just like he preached this morning. There's a purpose for everybody here. So I just want to share that with you.
And what he's involved in is there's a ministry that prints Bibles, and they'll print them, and then they'll send them to other churches, and those churches then put the Bibles together. And what he does is he goes around to churches in Illinois and gets them, or Indiana, whichever one, gets them to give money towards buying paper to print Bibles. And that's something he can do, you know? I mean, that's, and by the way, I would be willing to take anybody in this room that would be willing to go around to every church within 2 or 3 hours from here, and instead of seed line, knock on their door and say, hey, I want to tell you about a little guy that's a missionary on Lake Tanganyika. You know, take a Sunday every once in a while and go knock on. I mean, there's mountain churches all over this place, you know, that maybe they don't always have an opportunity to have a missionary like that. But hey, that's just a little seed we can sow. You know, anybody that wanted to do that, I'll hook you up with some slides and some prayer cards, and off you go for Jesus. Amen. So you guys are looking at me like, now he is crazy. But that's what he's doing. You know, so, and I appreciate, how many of you went to her Sunday school class today? You know, how many ladies got to the, okay. And she did a good job there, and I know Maggie enjoyed that as well. So, okay, who's up next? Who's going to go first? Brother Terry is over here doing rock, paper, scissors.
This song here, Brother Ben sung it for us about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He was here. And Brother Randy preached, reminded me a lot of it. And remind me of when my dad passed away. My dad was my best friend. He told me, when you're on top of a mountain, what do you see when you look out? You see straight, don't you? You see on top of that mountain straight through. I'm sure there's a song of it. I can't find it. But he said when you're in the valley, you're looking up. And who are you looking at? You're looking at the Lord when you're looking up all the time. And he said, don't never forget, just because you're in the valley, you know who you're looking for. We can't be on the mountain all the time. Sometimes when you get in the valley, we see who we're looking for. Amen. It reminds us where we need to be. And this song just reminds me of that. And it's always been a blessing to me. And Brother Ben sung it here, and I thought, I got to learn that song. I never have. And I hope y'all don't mind me saying it again since he sung it a while back. But I love it. I've always have. Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're up in the valley. You're never alone, for the God of the mountain is still God in the valley when things go wrong. He'll make them right, and the God of the good times is still God in the bad times, God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. Oh, the talk comes easy when life's at its best. Now it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night.
When Ben sang it, I think he sang it twice that week because Fran wanted to hear it, sang it again. But do you know, I hadn't heard that song in a long time, do you know that ever since then, I'd wake up singing that song, drive down the road singing that song. I'm thankful. I mean, you know what, I was talking to Greg, you know what, some of the things that I don't like, the stuff I got stuck in there. You know, the stuff that you hear, guys at work say things you shouldn't say. You know, and I don't appreciate it when the world and the junk around there brings something back out that I want hid, right? But man, I'm also thankful for another great phenomenon. It's when something good gets brought out of my mind. I'm thankful that a song like that can unleash it stuck in my memory. I mean, I can sing that song backwards and freeze it out to where it's at the forefront of what I'm thinking about. That's cool. I mean, that's just a blessing to have that, you know, constantly popping up in instead of what could be popping up, you know, and I'm thankful for that. And just, you know, him singing that song tonight, you know, God from heaven might be just saying, you know what, let's just cement it in there just a little bit further so it's imprinted on our memory. Because by the way, that's how you undo the other stuff that you just as soon forget. You write over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And the more you write over it with good stuff, the further down the drawer it goes, the harder it is for the devil to get it back out of there. Amen? All right. Go ahead.
Now, I really appreciate that message. Y'all are going to hear me ramble for just a second, and I know I do that every time, but really appreciate that message this morning, and something that really resonated, and something that obviously resonated into tonight's message that Brother Randy said was, we're not waiting on the Lord to come back. We're watching for Him to come back. And that song we sang as a congregation, will work till Jesus comes. That's what He's talking about. When we're watching, we're working. And at the same time, the Lord's got something for all of us to do, something for everyone here. We need to be working and watching for Him to come, because I don't want to be caught when the Lord comes back and blows that trumpet and I'm standing there doing something that isn't what He would want me to be doing. I want to be doing something when He shows up that He would be proud of. Amen. Something He would be expecting. Amen. A Christian man and a Christian family and a good godly church to be doing. Amen. One of these days
I'm gonna leave.
One of these days
I'm going home.
I'm gonna take my final journey. I'm gonna rest 'neath heaven's blue dome.
Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher,
higher, higher.
Stepping on the clouds, going past the moon,
going past the moon,
stars and the planets,
stars and the planets.
I'm gonna walk,
I'm gonna walk that
Milky White way. When the trumpet,
when the trumpet
gives the signal, I'm gonna leave for heaven that day. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher,
higher, higher.
Stepping on the clouds.
About just being 6 or 7 people in here, it's just that, you know, church cannot be broke down to a bulletin. You sing this song on this time, do this, because you're telling the Holy Spirit you got to work within these parameters. He doesn't do that. And what I miss is you can't have a, very difficult to have a Holy Spirit-filled service when you don't have anybody in the service. You know, I mean, now you might be jumping down at home, but I don't know it. You know, and when he was singing that song, you know, I mean, think about that. You know, Miss Sheila, can you imagine going past the moon and the stars and the planets? You know, stepping out on a cloud. You're gonna do that? How could you? How can we sit there and not go, woo? You know. I mean, stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus. You know, smiling, you know. I mean, we got something to be excited about, you know. I mean, that gives me some hope. I mean, I hope he just stops for a second and take my phone out and grab a picture as we keep going. That's just the way my mind thinks. Whoa, wait a minute. This is going too fast. But, you know, when I do that, see, then it becomes not just a song to me. Man, I'm going home.
Amen.
And the ride, man, I hope he stretches it out for me. I want to see firsthand everything he's made up from here to wherever that is. You ever think about where that is? It's somewhere. I don't know how far deep into the vast going on for eternity. They say that there's no end to the universe. What if it's at the very end of no end? You know, what is out there like that? You know, I mean, wherever it is, it's there, and you're going to go past the moon and the planets, and maybe you get to see it, maybe you don't, maybe it goes so fast, you don't even know what's going on, but I tell you what, that's exciting. And while he's doing it, see, the more we get our mind off of this planet, the better it is for him when he preaches. That's why I believe you need to let the Holy Spirit, whether it's a testimony, whether it's something on your heart, whether it's a song. The reason why we need that is because we need to detox. That's a filthy place out there.
Amen.
We don't even know. I mean, are, think about human being. Are you ready to actually hear from God?
No.
I mean, that's what we're going to get ready to do, not Randy. We're going to hear from Randy. I'm going back to the house. I want to hear from the Lord. And how do you prepare yourself to hear the words from a holy God? We got to get our mind from down here up there. Sing that one more time, and then Brother Randy, you come preach this.
Everybody already heard it once. There's no excuse not to sing it again and sing with us. So,
One of these days I'm going to leave. One of these days I'm going home.
I'm gonna take my final journey.
I'm gonna rest
neath heaven's blue dome.
Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher,
higher, higher,
stepping on the clouds,
going past the moon,
going past the moon,
stars and the planets,
stars and the planets.
I'm gonna walk,
I'm gonna walk
that milky white way,
that milky white way,
when the trumpet,
when the trumpet
gives the signal,
gives the signal.
I'm gonna leave,
I'm gonna leave
for heaven to stay. Stepping on the clouds, we'll see Jesus rise to meet him in the air. Stepping on the clouds, he will greet us. All the joy together we'll share. I'm gonna leave this world behind me, going where the devil cannot find me. I'm going higher,
higher, higher,
stepping on the clouds.
All right. I'm so grateful for the music. Here we're in a place that we don't have all the music ability that y'all do, and sometimes our church is starving for some music, and so when I come down here, man, it's like a revival meeting going on, and I appreciate that. I love your pastor. Every time I talk to him, I get two or three outlines just listening to him talk, and so sometimes he says, "Are you listening to me?" And I said, "No, I'm jotting my notes down in my mind," and he gives me thoughts to do about two or three messages. I appreciate that. And love this church. Just y'all have a great, great church. I hope you don't ever take advantage of that or take it for granted. And don't allow something precious to become familiar. I do want to say this about my father-in-law. His ministry is
those Bibles don't just, it's not just printing Bible. They go to missionaries, and the ministry, the whole basis of the ministry is we do not charge missionaries. We want to give them everything they can, not to come out of their wallet, because this is a mission-minded church. As you well know, many missionaries take out of their own wallet to support that ministry. Does that make sense? And sometimes they'll do without, and so that ministry there, they make sure that the missionaries get free Bibles. All right, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. If I could, just real quickly, after the evening service, I'd like to meet with all the lead counselors or head counselors. It'll take you 1 minute, I promise. And if I can just meet you afterwards, all the lead counselors, that would be great. Tonight I'm working on a message. This is not done. This is some thoughts that I had that I'm going to be preaching, at least right now, Lord willing, next Sunday morning at our place. And so I'm just kind of breaking ground with you, but I think that God just absolutely wanted this message tonight. And so you just got to keep in mind this is not fully developed, but I just feel right now, just following the Lord, that this is what is needed this evening. And then also looking at those the video right there and what all was going on with that missionary, I think this is going to go hand in hand. In Exodus chapter 4, if you would please, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Keep in mind, Moses being raised in Pharaoh's house for 40 years, and then now 40 years on the backside of the desert. A hermit. Alone. And now he's supposed to go back to Egypt and land of Goshen and tell Israel that God's going to take you out of bondage? I think that's a pretty reasonable response, is that they won't believe me. And during this time, it says here in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto him, What is in thy hand? And he said, A rod." Now you got to keep in mind, he kept his father-in-law's flock on the backside of the desert. You do not want to mix this up. There is a shepherd's staff and then there is a shepherd's rod. That shepherd's rod was about 2 to 2.5 feet long, and on one end, it was basically, if you want to call it a club, it was like a club. And so here Moses, he does have the staff, and that does one duty. For sake of time tonight, I know y'all got work afterwards, I won't go into all the details of what the staff did. Simply put, that rod, that club, that 2 foot, 2.5 feet, was used as a weapon. It could either be used as a defensive weapon or it could be used as an offensive weapon. Irregardless, it was a weapon. And he says, Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses said, it's a rod. Keep in mind, Moses is not the Pharaoh of Egypt, although he could have been. But he chose rather to suffer the affliction of God's people. And so he's back here and he says, it's a rod. In other words, this, Lord, it's just a rod. How many of you know that God can do anything? Amen. How many of you know that all of a sudden there's a little boy that came up with his lunch and the disciple says, Lord, it's just a little boy's lunch. It's just a happy meal. What can you do with that? Lord said, watch me. I'll show you exactly what I can do. Some of you say, well, we're in Scott County, Helenwood, Tennessee. Hey, listen, I'm in Crawfordsville, Indiana, and sometimes I wonder, what can God do here in Crawfordsville? And some of you may be sitting back and you may be saying, well, what can God do here? I'm going to tell you something. You don't know what God can do, and I don't know what God can do, because God has a plan for every life. I don't know what's going to happen this week, but I'm going to tell you, God's going to get a hold of somebody's life, and from Helenwood, Tennessee, something's going to happen this week. And God may get a hold of some little boy, and he might end up being the next pastor. He might get a hold of somebody individual. They may be a missionary on a field. He may get a hold of some family that might walk through the doors and says, hey, listen, I want to know something. Does this church really love my family like you're presenting? They come on in, they get loved, and all of a sudden they say, I think I want to make Helenwood Baptist my home church. All because some boy, some little girl came this week to cowboy camp. What is in thy hand? And I'm going to tell you, God will bust it out of the seams. It's going to get hokey this week. I understand that. I love cowboy camp at HBC, where we learn salvation free. And that's enough for me. We also learn to groom and ride a horse. And that's why I love cowboy camp. Yeehaw! Some of these counselors and workers are going to be with these kids. I'm going to embarrass them this week, and I always tell them, lose your identity. I'm going to have them barking like a dog, clucking like a chicken, quacking like a duck. And you think, that's so silly. Oh, no, 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 no. We're settling those kids down for the preaching of God's word, getting all those wiggles out. What can God do? It's just a rod. Now, that is not my message. If you would, Moses said, it's just a rod. And then all of a sudden, he says, cast it on the ground. So what'd he do? Cast it on the ground. And it became a what, folks? Serpent. Father, Lord, I just ask that in the next few moments, Lord, that you just might guide this evening, Lord. It's just going to be a short message, but I believe that this is what you have for our church. God, I am asking right now that you anoint this place, Lord, anoint this auditorium. God, I'm just asking that you anoint that recreation hall, that dining hall over there across the parking lot. Lord, I just ask that you get a hold of that round pen. I'm asking that you get a hold of that craft tent. I'm just asking that you get a hold of that athletic field, Lord. May there not be a step that any child could take unless they know that they are walking on the ground that has been dedicated and sanctified under your name. God, I just ask that you might help us this evening, Lord. Just a couple of minutes, just a couple of thoughts, God. I'm asking that you grip our hearts. Lord, may we give our life unto you. May we serve you faithfully till our death. May you be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God, I'm just asking that you might get a hold of this place, that every worker, Lord, they're going to be exhausted this week. Heat's going to get to us. The rain may come. But God, I'm just asking that that you guide attitudes. I'm asking that you give us synergy. I'm asking you give us strength. Lord, may we just be able to look at you and keep our eyes on you, for that prize is coming for the high calling. God, I just ask that you would let us invest our life into that field that is white unto harvest. God, use us in a mighty way. In your name, amen. I've entitled tonight, Who's Chasing Who? Who's chasing who? What's in your hand? And Moses says, I'm just a shepherd. It's just a rod. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and guess what, folks? It became a snake. By the way, you walked out just a second. That's a good video for tonight's message. I just thought I'd tell you that. It became a snake. Now, notice what Moses did here. When that thing became a snake, it says here in verse 3, and Moses fled from before it. Moses had common sense. First point I want you to see tonight is the running. What's in your hand? And Moses threw down that rod, and it became a serpent, and Moses took off. Last year, I brought my dog. His name is Marshall. He's a golden retriever. He's just that last year, he's about a year old. And we were doing that. Last year was the walk of the 3 miles. And so we were going down that trail all the way to the blacktop. And we were down that road. And all of a sudden, man, my eyes caught a hold of a snake that was over there. And last year, we were forewarned, hey, listen, y'all have a problem with copperheads. And last year they said, we don't know why, but it's thick and all this. So I said, okay. And so we're walking. I didn't think we'd see one at all. And so we're walking down, and all of a sudden I look over, and I see one of those copperheads there. And I'm thinking, oh, my word, is that thing alive or dead? So I looked at Marshall, and I said, when we get up near that thing, I want you to jump out in front of it so that you are between me and the snake. And so I kind of walked over there at Marshall, and Marshall's still not looking at that thing. I'm not lying, folks. I may be exaggerating, but I'm not lying. And we get in between, and I walk that dog. All of a sudden, my dog catches the eye of that snake, and I'm telling you what, man, he jumped up in my arms. I said, a lot of good you've done. Fortunately, that thing was dead. But it does make you nervous just a little bit, doesn't it? South Georgia, I don't know if they do this here or not, but South Georgia, they have what's called rattlesnake roundup. And they'll go out and they'll get those rattlesnakes, and they'll put them in a big old vat in the town square. And, of course, they got all the snake boots there and the belts and all this other stuff. And then for the entree for the evening is rattlesnake, and they'll cook up all that meat. And it's great meat. It's good. But they have rattlesnake roundup. Y'all understand what they got to do to get it? You got to get a live snake. Y'all understand that, right? And get those rattlesnakes to put them in the vat. Well, during this time, Moses threw down that rod. He's just a shepherd, folks. And he took off running. Stay with me. In the Bible, the serpent, the majority of the time, is recognized as the devil himself. Starts out in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. He's a sneak. The Bible says, be careful of the wiles of the devil, the deceits of the devil. He's going to try to trip up one of us this week. He's going to slither in there. And if you don't think he will, how on earth did he land, listen, in a perfect garden without sin, and yet without sin in a perfect garden, how was he able to deceive a woman who had never sinned before in her life? And walked with God in the evening. And he still was able to deceive her. Moses was running. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8. He that diggeth the pit shall fall in it, and whoso breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him. real quickly on who's chasing who, when Moses started running away, folks, I want you to understand something, that when Ecclesiastes says that if you remove the heads, that there will be snakes that will bite you, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to understand that there are hedges in our life. The Word of God is one of them. And if we start tearing apart this Bible and we start saying, well, did God really say that? And we start dissecting about what the Bible is and we start being critical about the Bible and what all it says in the Bible, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is giving us a forewarning that Satan is going to come and he's going to get you and he's going to bite you. Some of you used to have private devotions. Some of you used to get up in the morning, have your coffee, and read the Bible. Some of you used to be able to dive into God's Word and study to show thyself approved unto God. Some of you used to listen to messages, write down the Scriptures, and then go home and look at that Bible again. But lo and behold, you started taking down the hedges. Lo and behold, you started getting out of that Bible. Pretty soon, you started slipping just a little bit. Then you started sliding a little bit. And the next thing you know, you wake up and say, where on earth is my life going? It's because you took down some of the hedges. And now Satan is running after you, trying to destroy your life. He's going to try to do everything he can. But listen, he'll do it subtly. Just a little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time, little bit at a time. And he'll use whatever weakness that you and I have to destroy us. So Moses throws down the rod. Next thing we know is Moses took off and fled. I don't want any part of that thing. Just like that missionary dumped that bike. So it is. Moses started running. Second thing about the hedges, real quickly, is this. This church has hedges. Amen. We don't always allow the world in here, do we? There's some things that the hedges of this church that have been built up. Why? Because we don't like you? No. Because we know without the hedges, it'll destroy you. Church house has hedges. Word of God has hedges. You take them out, Satan's going to chase you. But I want you to see real quickly. I told you I was going to be short tonight. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and what, folks? Take it by the tail. Who's chasing who? The snake was chasing Moses. Now, all of a sudden, Moses turns around because God said, I want you to take that thing by the tail. And it's interesting to note during this time, James 4:7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the very first word of that Bible verse is the word submit. Moses is taking off. He's getting away from that snake. All of a sudden, God says, I'm paraphrasing, Moses, stop in your tracks. I want you to turn around. I want you to go, and I want you to grab that snake by the tail. Now, let me ask you something. In order to grab a snake by the tail, they got to go the other direction. Stay with me. Moses had to submit unto God and say, have thy will in your life and in my life. And he's submitting to God, and he's submitting to God's will. And now look what the devil's doing. He's now running from the person who submitted to God. Amen. He's going the other way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us three things. He's given us the spirit of power. Take that old devil and take him by the tail and get him out of here. I'm so tired of the devil getting a hold of our young people and getting a hold of our kids. And during this time, 24-7, 2 years ago? Was it a year ago? 24-7. This year? Man, we've been through so much lately. We started a new ministry called 24-7. And it is for young adults. It's not, you can't be in high school. You're too young. This is for young adults. those who are newly married, those who are in the work field, and we start a ministry called 24/7 because what we have found out is that there are some people, they don't know how to turn a wrench, they don't know how to fix this, they don't know how to operate a financial budget, they don't know how to, whatever, the basics of life. Our young people are not being taught that, and so now they're left a big old hole, and Satan has get a hold of them, and they don't know about life whatsoever, and I'm tired of Satan getting a hold of our young adults thinking that this is it, I might as well give up and quit, this is life. And you older folks know that this is not life that God has for us. God says, I want to give you life, and I want to give it to you more abundant. I'm so tired of our young people thinking church is boring and that God's not doing anything. Now, who did that? That Satan getting inside of them, that Satan that's trying to distract them, that Satan that says, hey, listen, I haven't given you the spirit of power. I'm going to tell you something. There are still churches during all this time of the COVID that they are winning souls for Jesus Christ. They are seeing visitors come into their church. They are growing. There are churches that are alive. There are churches that are having revival meetings. There are churches that are seeing answers to prayer. There are churches that are reaching people for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God's power never changes. It's always been the same. And if the same God can part the Red Sea, then I think the same God can do something this week.
Amen.
He's given us the spirit of power, but also notice this, he's given us the spirit of love. We always talk about our cowboy camp. Just give them a week that they know that they're loved. Because what we deal with and the clientele we deal with a lot of kids that they don't have a home, that they know mom and daddy love them. They're kind of left out in the cold. He's given us the spirit of power, but he's also given us the spirit of love. Helen Wood, how much you love people. I'm not talking just going through the motions and actions. I'm talking about how much do you love people? Do they know you love them? That's a better way to put it. You can say you love them. Do they know that you love them? I didn't say spoil them. I didn't say do whatever they want. I said, do they know that you love them? Our bus kids, they're rowdy kids. Our bus kids come from homes that you would not want to raise your kids in. And our bus directors are hard on those bus kids. But you know what? When they get in trouble at school, do you know who they call? They don't call their mom and dad. They call their bus workers. I can't tell you how many times that bus workers had go to the school and they said, they didn't want to call mom and dad. They wanted to call you. You're the only authority. Can you call the parents and all this other stuff? Those bus kids, they keep them in line, but yet they love them. There's order, but they love them. There's structure, but they love them. Those kids know you love them. God's not given us the spirit of not only power and love, but also he's given us the spirit of sound mind. Now stay with me. Stay with me. Give me about 5 more minutes. Moses was going to have to deal with this serpent again. The next time will be in Pharaoh's palace when he throws down that rod. And if you remember, that serpent ate up Moses' serpents. There was also an infestation of snakes that they had before, and I'll show you a verse in closing on that. But if you remember that, I have a message entitled Standing Between the Living and the Dead. And God instructed Moses to make a staff with that snake emblem on it. And those that looked upon that rod, they were spared their life. He had to deal a lot with serpents. But the first time he had to do it was on the backside of the desert when nobody was looking around. In order to do it, he had to submit. Amen.
Amen.
Stay with me if you would. So there's the running, there's the request, but all I want you to see the reason of this, and this is the biggest kicker of them all. In verse 5, Well, let me read verse 4. Take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Just real quickly, I wanted to just say this. I think that put a lot of confidence in Moses. Once you do something, I think you can do it again. Once you learn it, you become a little bit more confident. Now, several years ago, Cody took us down to Gatlinburg, and it's been, Carson was 2 weeks old the last time we've been down to Gatlinburg. And Gatlinburg was the very, 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 very first time that I ever bungee jumped. Gatlinburg was the very, 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 very last time I ever bungee jumped. Just because I did it one time doesn't mean I want to do it again. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't have a sound mind at that point in time. I was answering my ridicule of my wife that said, oh, you would have used to in your younger years. And she was basically daring me to do it. Anyway, he grabbed hold of that thing, and it became a rod. Now notice this. He was by himself. There are times in our life when we go through things, and we got to go through them alone. I've done 3 funerals through this COVID, not necessarily because of COVID. I want to make that clear. There were 3 people that passed away. It was the oddest funerals that I have ever done in all the years of my ministry. A couple of them, they came from big families, and only a certain amount of people could go into the funeral home. At the grave site, there was just a couple of people that could only be there. There was a limitation as to what was going on. All of them, all 3 of them, passed away in this life alone. There's a lot of upset families as to why they couldn't be with their dad, their brother, their mother, and they didn't understand it. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but you may feel like I'm going through it alone. Stay with me. There's the running. There was the request. But in verse 5, I want you to see this. Why on earth? What's the reason? The reason is this. Verse 5. Moses, you're by yourself on the backside of the desert. You ran from a snake. You submitted to me. You picked it up. I changed it back to a rod. The reason, Moses, is because of verse 5, that they may believe. Pastor, you lost me. You may think that you are going through things by yourself, but God may have allowed those things in your life for you to go through because of others. Moses, I had you throw down that rod. We went through this little episode, not for you, Moses, for those that are in bondage, that are under the control of someone else, so that they might believe.
Amen.
So I don't know what you might be going through, and I don't know who else is going to be working this week, but I'm asking you to turn it over to God and realize that you may be used this week, though you think it's all by yourself, you may be using it for someone else. Pick it up and submit to God, because it gave Moses the power, the spirit of power, gave him the spirit of love, and gave him a sound mind. Because if you study Israel, I'd go crazy leading Israel out. and Moses had a sound mind. Now, one more thing. After this incident right here, when Moses said it's a rod, you read on down a few more verses, that rod's name changed to the rod of God. It became authority, a sign of strength, a sign of holiness, because he submitted. I'm asking you tonight, don't let Satan get you tonight. Don't let him get you on the run. I don't know what all you're dealing with, but don't you tear down those hedges. They're there for a reason. They're there for a reason. And as we're going to be on this earth, we'll always fight him. You may get a victory, but here he comes again. He's going to try to get you again. He's going to try to get you on the run again. I'm asking you, turn around and grab him by the tail and get him on out of here. Let's get revival going on. Let's put him in his place. And instead of him chasing us, let's chase him on out. Amen? It's just a thought. It's just a sermon prep. Father, Lord, I just ask that you guide us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the blessings of this week. God, I just ask that you just might move some mountains and some lives here. God, I just ask that you deal with our lives in a mighty way. God, you're trying to, I know it, man, I can just, Lord, you, my word, you're trying to get a hold of someone's heart tonight. Been all day, Lord. It's been heavy on my heart. Just trying to get a hold of somebody. I don't know who that is, Lord, but I'm just asking right now, Lord, that you just allow that Holy Spirit to be pressing and pressing and pressing on that heart. God, may we turn our lives over to you and submit. Just may we just be able to get the devil on out. Get the distractions out. God, may this week bring glory and honor to you. In your precious holy name, amen.
Stand, Miss Jenny, if you could help me, or one of the ladies, if somebody could come play the piano. If you stand, heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll just have a time of invitation here. You know, no sense going over that. That was a good message. And you think about, you know, Moses running. If he couldn't run the next time, because that had been really, I mean, can you imagine in front of Pharaoh that he did that? He wasn't going to be able to do what he did in front of Pharaoh until he learned about himself the first time around. When you see him go in front of Pharaoh, it's a totally different guy. Snake hits the ground. He has composure. He's not worried about it. The Lord's with him. And he picks the snake. I mean, what a transition. Guys, listen. We need this. I mean, we need to have cowboy camp. And here's why. I don't think it's a coincidence that it went through. Because this is, the snake's been chasing us. I don't want to go out like this. The snake's been chasing us. Let's turn around and let's go after it. Let's submit to the Lord. Take your fear, give it to him. And look, it's real. I got a phone call right before I left. He calls me to miss prayer time. A pastor friend of mine called me. He thought we were in the middle of vacation Bible school, and he wanted to know if I'd been arrested yet. Because he's getting ready to do one. He's doing one Saturday. I'm like, chicken? You know, he's doing one Saturday, and he says, Dave, are you doing masks and temperatures? And I can't do it because it's online. Are we offline, Matt? Okay. But anyway, I'll tell you that illustration later. But I mean, he's saying, Dave, what are you gonna do? You know, I'm gonna tell him. I'm gonna call him back. Here's what I'm gonna tell him. I said, I'm gonna chase that devil. Is what I'm gonna do. We're going to have cowboy camp. We need to do that, guys. We need to get back in ministry. We need to hit next Sunday and go on. We need to sing like we've never sang before. Anytime, before, if the church had something and you missed it, well, maybe it could survive. Well, guys, our numbers aren't the same. You know what we need? All hands on deck. Everybody, before you could pull a little bit here, you could pull a little bit there. Not now. Everybody's got to be on deck. So I'm going to have the ladies play and just think about that. Maybe there's something we need to submit to the Lord tonight and let him do the rest. The rest of the message will follow in your heart immediately. If you take that one thing, and it can be many different things, and just let him have that in your life. Let him have that obstacle in your life. Submit to him, give it to him, and then that whole situation changes course, and then you get to go after the enemy. But it all starts, it might be your attitude you got to submit to him, it might be your will you got to submit to him, it might be a portion of your heart that's got cold that, I'd be here all night naming areas that you could submit to the Lord. But if the Moses wouldn't have stopped and done what God told him to do, we wouldn't have the rest of that story. So as she plays this evening, if God spoke to your heart, you come.